I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, an Ivy League professor goes all in for poker as a mind sport. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The Penn State University scandal has dominated the headlines this week. The investigation is widening as we speak. Some have called this the biggest story in the history of college sports. Have they got that right?
In its own completely miasmic, miserable, awful, hideous way, yes. It has all the elements in it to prove the case that the colleges ought to be out of this business forever. I have so much anger going in so many different directions, and some of them in the direction of my own profession. There is nothing here except the rape of children. There's nothing else. There's nothing else to talk about. Some coach's legacy, a bunch of idiot students who ought to be lucky they're not Occupy demonstrators because they'd have been beaten to the ground instead of just sort of arrested, some of them. College football, I don't care about any of that. The rape of children is the only thing you should care about here. And if we haven't learned that after 20 years of covering this in the Catholic Church, I don't know when we ever will.
Penn State, of course, has to respond to this. And there have been some people saying they should simply drop football.
I don't have a problem with them doing that, and if they do it, I would say you have atoned 30%, maybe even less than that, of what you allowed to happen in your athletic facilities under the auspices of your football program. This is so infinitely worse than point shaving, which has cost some schools their major programs. It's so infinitely worse than what happened at SMU, which cost them their football program for a year. It's so infinitely worse than any recruiting scandal or anything that's prompted a suspension. It's several orders of magnitude worse than anything schools have been punished for in the past regarding their athletic programs. If I were the Penn State trustees, and they would know better than I about this, but if I knew that there were other shoes to drop on this one, as I suspect there are, I would seriously consider eliminating the football program for a considerable space of time.
The NBA's latest proposal to its locked-out players consists of a 50-50 split of basketball-related income and a few assorted salary cap gewgaws and a 72-game schedule, which would begin on December 15th if it was accepted. The union will apparently put the latest proposal to vote early next week. What do you think? Will they vote go on this?
If I were a betting man, I would say it would probably pass. I'm sure the union will line up, you know, in its meetings with its players, will line up against this proposal because it's once again David Stern demanding everything when he's already got 80% of what he wants. But I suspect the rank and file will vote to go back to plan.
Meanwhile, Stephon Marbury referred to Michael Jordan as a sellout this week. What was that all about?
Well, Michael Jordan has been one of the hard bar owners in the negotiations here. Michael Jordan, who's never done a damn thing in his professional life with his money or his fame or his influence that didn't somehow profit Michael Jordan. Stephon Marbury will be ripped for being a goofball, but he told the truth on this one. Michael Jordan is a sellout, has been a sellout, and always will be a sellout.
Charlie, former heavyweight champion Joe Frazier died on Monday night. A lot of people remembering him as the guy who fought Muhammad Ali three times and beat him once. Is that your enduring image of Joe Frazier?
The enduring image I have of Joe Frazier is the first Ali fight, where he threw what is perhaps the most perfect punch in the history of boxing to knock Ali down late in the fight and win the decision. He was, of course, tormented. Muhammad Ali put demons in this man's head, for which Muhammad Ali will have to atone before whatever judgment is finally handed out to Muhammad Ali. He was a great fighter. He's a perfect example of what boxing can do to great people. He should be a cautionary tale for anybody who decides to take up that sport.
The NASCAR Cup chase is still remarkably tight, with Carl Edwards holding a slim lead over Tony Stewart, I think 3 points going into the final two races of the season. Who takes this thing, Mr. NASCAR?
Well, let's see. I don't know. And that's the actual truth. This is exactly what, of course, NASCAR had been hoping against hope for ever since it invented the chase for the cup. It's going to be one of those two guys. They've opened some daylight over Kevin Harvick in third place. I still think Tony Stewart's going to catch him, but I wouldn't bet on it.
At the Australian Open this week, Tiger Woods played his first bogey-free round in 9 months, and he was atop the leaderboard at the end of the second round. Is Tiger again playing at his peak?
Let's see when the tour comes back here in January and they start playing here whether he is. This is, of course, a promising sign. But he's certainly having a better day than John Daly did.
I was going to say, that. Otherwise that would have been the big story of that tournament.
Everybody's ever seen the movie Tin Cup will know this scene. Where Kevin Costner at the U.S. Open chooses instead to try to make an impossible shot and winds up getting a 12 on the last hole of the U.S. Open. John Daly was on the par 5 11th, hit 7 balls in a row into the water and gave up and left the course. If you're going to give up and leave the course, leave after the third shot or the fourth.
I'm just thinking this has got to be one of these things where he had 6 extra golf balls in his bag, and one after another, he hit them all into the water and then went home, right? I mean, there has to be some intention here.
I's taking all I can stands, and I can't stands no more.
In 2006, Floyd Landis was stripped of his Tour de France title for doping. This week, things got worse for Landis, at least if he was ever thinking about returning to France. How so?
Yeah, he was indicted convicted in absentia for his role into a hacking thing where they got into the computers of the French doping lab. They were spying on the computer to get information from his file. As we always say, drugs make people stupid.
And finally, Charlie, I have long been aware of fantasy football and fantasy baseball, although I own no franchises in either. I had not previously been aware of fantasy fishing, but given the payouts available, I guess I should have been paying attention.
Yes, a woman won $100,000 playing fantasy fishing. This is an interesting. This is, and yes, I know, but Christy McNabb is not laughing because she's got 100 G's.
I know.
She admits. I mean, what you do is you draft the professional fishermen who are on this fishing tour, and you know, just as you would fantasy football, fantasy baseball. And I mean, personally, I like fish on rotisserie much better than baseball players, but that's neither here nor there. My favorite comment from Ms. McNabb, the champion, is that she said, "I used to be on Facebook a lot, and I used to play Farmville all the time, and my dad talked me into playing fantasy fishing. I gave up Farmville because I had no more time for it. I can't waste any more time. My time wasting time is precious.
It's all wasted.
I can't waste my time wasting time on Farmville. I have to waste it on fantasy fishing where I can make
$100,000. Charlie Pierce writes the politics blog for Esquire magazine, and he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.